This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, Business Masterclass for SMEs and the entire 3-hour block, 12 to 3 every Monday, is your leadership transformation platform. In the studio, Anto Stella, but very quickly, last week, what did we do last week? Let me get back to last week. What did we do? Richard, I always put you on the spot. I'm trying to punt that specific podcast. Our discussion was about, from USB Ed customer
Belinda.
Belinda Wagner. With
Belinda, and then
retaining
we had
customers.
Retaining customers.
Correct.
And then we moved on to the conversation with MaxiCash. Remember?
That's right. Interesting. Yeah. MaxiCash.
Pluritone.
Pluritone. Pluritone. Correct.
Yes.
So you can get that podcast. But yeah, Anto Stella, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
This nice is Cliff Central.
Thank you very much.
Internet radio.
the future.
Jinx.
The future.
Tell us about your business. Just tell us what the business is about in simplest possible terms. Then we'll go to the beginning. You know, how it evolved, lessons learned. And of course, the SMEs can come in any time and pitch their business. And
whether she has insurance, right?
Yeah. I don't want to go there.
Are we insured?
We've got a date afterwards.
Okay, Content Connect Africa is primarily a content supplier, content provider to mobile operators across the continent. And our prime business is music and entertainment. But with the changes, we've taken on a whole lot of other content.
Lifestyle stuff.
Yeah. Lifestyle content. But our main clients are the mobile operators. And as you know, and you've mentioned that the largest consumption of content is throughout the continent on the mobile phone.
Mm.
So our consumers are mobile driven.
So how many years ago was this not even an issue?
Wow. Well, I suppose I could take you back to when when I was still doing CDs and vinyl in the music industry.
But in terms of working through cell phone companies or mobile companies, I mean, that's...
What is it? We're talking about 8 years now. I mean, okay. It's been growing steadily, but certainly fast-tracked the last 3 to 4 years.
It's really becoming a thing
massive.
Now.
I mean, across the continent.
Mm. There's an important thing that I want to just point out here for reference purposes later, is just look at how quickly this industry has evolved and changed. If I was to say, what were you thinking... let's say 10 years ago, did you see that you would be in this industry? The content provision, that hasn't fundamentally changed. But the format and how you do
it. The channel almost, yeah.
The channel is completely different to what you thought you had 10 years ago. In fact, the stuff you have 10 years ago is now, if you showed it to some of the newbies on the block in your industry, they'd look at the stuff and go, what is that thing?
My daughter is like, what is that?
Oh, it's a CD, darling. Never mind an LP.
Yeah, to answer your question, that is exactly. I think I left. I moved from a major record label environment 10 years ago, almost actually 12 years ago, because I saw the change coming.
Yeah.
And I saw that a lot of the companies were just not going to be able to keep up with the change. We can barely keep up with the change. If things change weekly, our business strategies have to change. And went into my own business and knew that it had to be content and it had to be the continent. And fast moved into consulting to Content Connect Africa to doing a management buyout. That's how quick the future, and that was done in a period of probably 6-7 years max. In fact, 6 years, 5 years. It moved. That's how quickly it moved.
I rest my case.
Well, I mean,
so what was Content Connect Africa doing before you came into its space, and how did it deliver the content? Just give us very basic explanation, and then now it's all through cell phone, the mobile.
Well, it started off like that. It started off, I think that if I recall at the time, I hadn't even started consulting to them, but the founding members had a call from one of the networks saying, hey, we've got this, you know, CRBTs, which is ringback caller tones, caller tunes were very big in America at the time. And they said, we have this network, we have a consumer base, we want to provide music ringback tones to our consumer base.
That was the first sort of product in all services.
Yeah, so I think they started off with about 350 tracks, went to all their friends in the music business and said, give us, and it just blew. It blew up in this territory, in South Africa primarily. And then it kind of went through a lull because I think a lot of people, except the consumer, knew what it was. So the consumer's appetite just got bigger and bigger for these CRBTs, ringback tones, which everybody thinks, a lot of people don't even know what they are.
Still, oh yeah.
Still people don't know what they are. It's like when you call me, you're going to hear a song. Right now I think I've got Paradise Road. I change moods and everything. But
if you take we've got 4, 5, 6, 7 people in the studio. Mm. Who of us have ringback tones? When people call you, they hear some song.
No.
So none of us have it.
And that is incredible for me because this is obviously a certain segment, a certain market. But if you go into the continent, millions of people have.
Is it kind of bigger there?
And South Africa's a substantially big audience. To give you, if I can just put it in perspective, the ringback tone market is bigger in South Africa than is the iTunes market in terms of local content.
Sure. Mm. Wow.
That gives you an example of how big it is.
All right, so
it's guys,
special.
Go on.
We need to get with the times.
We're working on that. So that's how it kind of kicked off. Take us through the evolution a little bit further.
Well, then the founding member sold it to Blue Label, which we all know is the big telecommunications company. And I think that Blue Label had the right idea, but it was a little premature because people were still trying to figure out where the networks were going with content. And I guess I was lucky to be consulting at the time. And the guys were figuring out, does this fit into our core business? I'm sure that they're having regrets now, having moved on to Cell C and all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Mark and Brett. But at that time I had, I've always been I've been 32 years in the music industry. So I was running another company parallel to that. And I just went to the guys and said, you know what, can I do a buyout? And when I hear now all of these things I should have done, at that time I rallied up a friend of mine and she said, well, I want to get involved. You know, it's a good business. You see it as a good business. And I saw it as a good business, and I launched in, and the guys were really good to me to be able to buy the business at a price and work out a deal, which I can say that we very proudly 18 months paid back Blue Label. In fact, it was less than 18 months. But it is, content is the biggest consumption of data right now. So that's why we've expanded to lifestyle, and we've just launched a movie channel and a music channel. So everything. It was at that time, I think it was 2012, where I decided then to take the giant leap and buy the company, and then put all the other businesses that I have, sounds like an empire, the other business that I had, and collapse it all into to become what CCA is today, which is a full 360 deliverable to the consumer and the mobile networks.
All right, so explain to us a little bit more for the slow people like me and those who are maybe slower. Hopefully there's a few slower. So today, Content Connect does what on a day-to-day basis? I know you work in several African countries. Musicians play a big role. Just what happens? I'm a musician out there maybe listening, or anyone else.
So the beauty about our business is that, and that's really what drives me, is the fact that you don't have to be signed to a record label to sign to CCA. You can be an artist, you can be a composer, or you can have your own business. So we generate a lot of business for smaller record labels and therefore the independent sector. So we represent, on a daily basis, we are signing up content, we're curating content for the different countries we're in, and we're providing revenue streams for independent artists and composers and labels, and we're creating new opportunities for those. So we work very close. We have marketing. We do a lot of marketing strategy with our clients that includes a digital delivery. So every day that is what we do in 8 different territories on the continent.
It's amazing how I almost want to say the mobile network providers are becoming competition for television, for radio.
Absolutely.
They're trying to reposition their whole strategy. It's all about content, data, and whether it's podcasts like here or whether it's film, it doesn't matter. You know, it's all about that. So someone can literally, a musician who thinks I've got to get on television and I've got to get on radio, yeah, sure. But right now they can actually get onto digital through someone like yourself. and make a better living than they would have if they continued walking down the road of, absolutely, what do you call it, conservative media, or what's another word for it, terrestrial?
Traditional.
I call it legacy media.
Yeah, legacy media, yeah.
Yeah.
But just to that point, though, because this is a conversation we've had when we were talking about transformation in the media. Obviously, for this market, you still have that stickiness in terms of people's engagement with legacy media. I mean, look at the expansiveness that MultiChoice has had over the years and continues to add channels and things, because TV still holds that much appeal. What would you say to that?
Well, I think I agree with Adrian. I think that the network operators are going to watch the space. I hear fiber to home, fiber optics to home. They're all starting to gear themselves to get into what you'll see as a traditional format, but is very much a digital delivery. So, I mean, because we're on the go, mobile television has become, I believe, really putting my money on the fact that lifestyle, podcasts, everything is going to be very much part of the environment. And I think that consumers, we're mobile savvy. You'd be surprised to know how many hits I've had on ringback tones that have never been on radio. Hopefully now with the change at 90%, I'm going to see a lot more hits.
But are your partners in the mobile phone space coming to the party in terms of cost for data? Because that's what seems to be quite prohibitive at this stage.
So the fundamental difference now with the partners, the network operators, is that they give us a marketing direct to consumer that we've never had before.
Mm-hmm.
So they can geo-target. Yeah, it's distribution. They can geo-target. They can do SMS blasts. And for that, right now, we're happy. We coexist. We don't share in the data, if that's your question. Okay. But it will come.
Well, it may come.
Yeah, it will come. It will definitely
because
come.
Because as their business model shifts to data, so you take an MTN who's now making R1 billion maybe on content or through content delivery.
Or hopes to.
Yeah, well, that's where they kind of are.
It's work in progress.
It's growing. It's going to grow. And then eventually their strategy may have to change. Okay, we have an SME owner in the audience who's going to pitch his business for 30 seconds and then engage the panel.
Good afternoon. My name is Tongai. I am the co-founder of a business called Africa One Media. Africa One Media is a firm that focuses on providing legal and business advisory services to creators in the entertainment, media, artistic, and sports arenas. Our mission is to ensure that artists are entering into agreements that allow them to monetize from their talents, and to ensure that when they engage in negotiations with, be it sponsors or record labels, that there's a balanced negotiation that takes place, and that the artists can actually make a living from the use of their talents.
All right, and your contact detail? Hey, it's your pitch, man. I mustn't help you.
My apologies. We can access our information at africa1media.com.
All right. Gentlemen and lady, your comments on the pitch, that sounds interesting, attaches onto your business.
Mm, absolutely.
And artists are these creative people who cannot turn their creativity into a business always. I mean, that's the challenge.
Yeah, I was going to say, this for me goes, yes, it's the artist element, but I think it goes beyond that. I mean, if you just look at that little recent Vodacom court case that they lost.
Absolutely.
It talks to innovation, ideas, creativity, and making sure that those are protected from an intellectual property perspective. So, yeah, an important person to have in your quick dial list if you're an idea creator.
All right, so you have a question or comment for the panel, and do you have insurance for your business?
Yes. Do you have Keyman insurance?
Keyman insurance.
You wants to know.
We're working on it, but it's definitely part of the plan. My question is just for Antos. I just wanted to know, if there are artists out there who do have content and would like to sign up to Content Connect, how do they go about doing that?
Okay, so we sign up in a variety of ways. Some artists sign to us direct, where we provide the finance for them to record their content. And I'm talking about artists, music, video, and movie directors. And in other instances, they sign us just as a distribution deal. There is a standard negotiation that happens, and there is a contract that we encourage them to go see attorneys. I'm very glad that you're starting the business, because we have a lack of attorneys. And I agree, IP, as fast as the business is changing, The infringement of copyright is becoming a bigger problem around the continent. So we would sign and negotiate on a percentage revenue, and then very much the rest of my team, who would then build a marketing strategy, a strategy around it, and the team would then go and meet with the various clients.
Okay, thank you so much for pitching your business. Interesting angle there. How do you screen the artists? So you could be inundated, surely, with a lot of artists out there who... You've got to screen it somehow.
Well, you know what we do. We make everybody... If everybody's got content, we make it available. I think that's the fairness of our ideal. If you want to be on our client, on the distribution channels, we'll make it available. We can't, however, give priority to everything. So the team, I have an amazing team that you know, leads through the A&R and leads through the creative, which is artist and repertoire. They lead through the creative and they present to the various clients that we have, be it Vodacom, MTN. We have a whole lot of other clients as well. And they say these are the priority releases, but we also theme Heritage Day, Youth Day. So we curate content. That is where our strengths are. We have an amazing team who curate content all the time. I think the question is when there are guys who don't motivate themselves to go and sell their content, because everybody gets a short code, so they can go onto their own social media and push it.
Mm.
That's what we require a lot of the content creators to do themselves.
Yeah, but
as well.
This is the future.
So are you saying that you kind of your platform is an all you can eat kind of a platform? You're not necessarily, you know, looking for people who you think may drive an incredible amount of value over time?
No, we do. I mean, I think at the moment, 80% of our business is done with 20% of the labels and the content providers. But we like to encourage young people because, you know, I mean, I'm getting a little old for this, but I mean, you do remember that there's some artists that who a year ago, I mean, you know, the MTs and the Ambitious Group, they are young kids that are coming up with hits all the time.
Absolutely.
So we don't want to, we are that business hub for them. Mm. We do, when we see, we have analytics on our business. Mm-hmm. When we see something is starting to break through, we very much put it as a priority level. But we like to really have a sustainable business where people are constantly supplying content. Mm. And now bear in mind that at the moment we're doing, so what we get very involved in financially is cross collaboration. So you would have an artist from Nigeria or from Ghana doing a collaboration with the South African artist. Mm-hmm. So we encourage that a lot. But there's always these new, you know, that's what music is about. Mm-hmm. And I think even in the traditional sense, it's the same people. I mean, how many times can you sell Michael Jackson's catalog? And it's still worth $75 billion. What did they just pay? $1 million. Mm-hmm. And that is the point. So we have a fine balance of catalog and emerging artists all the time. And that's where I come in, the analytics of the business all the time.
Excellent. All right. So we have a SME on the floor who's going to pitch his business and engage the panel. But I want you to think, I want to go a little bit more general as well. You're an experienced SME owner.
Yeah.
SME business person. Lessons. Let's just end off this part of the show with lessons you've learned in running a small business. And your small business happens to be right at the
cutting edge
of I think where the world is going. You know, it's fascinating. This is changing things. It's taking content to the world through a specific network. So before we get there, let's do the SME. Go for it. Pitch your business.
Hi, guys. My name is Russell Davis. I've got a business called The Branding Lab. We are a web consultant company, but I want to discuss what we are focusing on, which are dedicated landing pages. And what a dedicated landing page is a benefit that we provide for companies is because a normal website is very generic. And what it has is what we call leaks. On a website is a lot of general information when a person comes to, and a person can get very distracted on a website. There's lots of information, there's lots of content, and there are lots of places to go to. And if you look at a Google Analytics page, you'll see what's called bounces. There's your bounces, and people bounce, what's called bounce off a website. So what we try to do is say, if you've got a campaign or a specific thing that you want to promote, is that we will create dedicated landing pages. The benefit for a client or for a brand or for a particular product is that a dedicated landing page is for a specific task at hand. It's got a specific call to action, and you are able to change it easily. You are able to change it quickly, and you're able to test it easily. So it's easy to change, easy to test, and the benefit is, therefore, it reduces your Google spend, your ad spend, and you're able to create a lot more call to actions. So, for example, you've got a particular artist, you can create a very specific call to action, a quick page in a very quick amount of time.
All right. So that's kind of specializing in your website kind of area. It's a specialization area.
Web design, yeah.
Okay, and web design. All right, then people will Google you.
Yeah. How much is your landing page?
So a dedicated landing page is, that's the benefit. You could spend about 2,500 rand for a landing page, whereas the cost of developing a website is you're looking at about 5,000 to 10,000 rand.
And the landing page, does it work the same way as a website would do in terms of improving my SEO score or standing?
It works the exact same way. It's basically is a sub page on your website, and it's you can do the optimization on it. You can do whatever you need to do as a website is, and you can provide more more SEO, you can provide video links, etc., on the landing page. So there's a lot of functionality that the landing page offers, which would need a lot of technical development on a normal website, which would take a lot of time to develop. And in a dedicated landing page, it's very quick, it's very easy to turn over, and you can actually do what we call A and B testing, which is very quick. You can do different options, and you can show the client in a, very quickly.
All right, do you have a question for the panel? Comment?
No, I'm not fine at the moment.
All right, so just pitching business, and we engage you. Thank you so much. We may have one more pitch, but I want to hear some lessons. So you're in this unique business, but putting that aside, you still have to drive revenue. You still have to look at the risks. You still have to manage staff, very creative staff in many instances. You have to deal with egos. But two or three key lessons you've learned that you wished you knew 20 years ago.
Yeah, well, I think that the key lesson that I've learned, and I thought about this, I thought you were going to ask me this question. The key lesson that I've learned is to really understand finances and finances for accountants and financial advisors. Having come from a bigger group where we had lawyers and accountants on tap, and I never agreed with them most of the time anyway, to running a much smaller business where it was a little easier, but still I had issues, to running into a business now where for 2 years I've had to really understand the balance sheet, the income statement, and also having had shareholders come in very early in my business. I was very fortunate to have people who wanted to buy into the content business. And I did a due diligence without knowing about income statements, and I fast-tracked it. So I now try and encourage my staff to do finance for non-finance, and to encourage my staff to do, my team, to learn about the budgeting, because it's something, having been in the business for, at that stage, that long, it was something I still hadn't drilled down, so I found it was risk.
It's a very practical lesson you've learned, and I think most SMEs will learn that, or better. I'm really bad at financials, but yeah. You know, we all have to have our temporary finance manager. So we saw this business card going around the studio.
A business card has just moved its way across to you.
All right, thank you so much. We're going to have a last pitch, and then we have to end this part of the show, and then we have our transformation platform conversation. We're going to look at part of an article by a man that explains where the world's going in the next few years. It's actually shocking, but very exciting, and certainly people like yourselves play in the space. All right, last pitch of the day.
Hi, Adrian. Thank you for the opportunity. My name is Bathia Isaacovitz. I own a plumbing business called Nuco Plumbing. I'm a woman-owned business, and we specialize in eco-plumbing, grey water harvesting, solar geysers, and all water solutions for the home and for businesses. Apart from the fact that we do general maintenance, geysers, block drains, and anything else related to plumbing. You can get me on www.nucoplumbing.co.za. My phone number is 082-551-4368, or email me at info@newcoplumbing.co.za.
How many plumbers or employees do you have? Small business?
I have 2 vehicles on the road, 4 plumbers.
All right. Yeah. Any comments on the pitch or...
It's interesting. She says eco plumbing. That sounds good.
It sounds right. Hey?
It's about sustainability.
Mm. Yeah.
In the environment.
Is that very common? You get plumbing. That's it. Or do you actually have more and more plumbers specializing in this field now?
Well, as a rule, it was something done in very, you know, in the farming industry where people were concerned about harvesting water. But I personally feel with our situation at the moment and with the water and the droughts that it's something people should consider. It is an expensive operation, can be, putting in water tanks, but and also filtration systems, which I think people should look at. Okay.
I mean, even the next half hour impacts your business. In fact, it impacts all of us. So, if you would either listen or just download the podcast later on, I think the next half hour conversation will be fascinating. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you for that pitch, and of course, our special guest Antos Stella. Thank you so much, Antos, for joining us. Good luck with your business. It's
thank
nice
you
to know
so
you,
much.
MD of Content Connect Africa, and of course, you, Crankshaw, also sharing with us all about insurance today, and your business. You was.
Cornerstone Wealth Management.
Just going up in my notes here.
No problem.
Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. Richard Angus and Alice Mnyandu stays behind. We're going to just have a fascinating conversation about how the world is transforming and in essence, what does the near future look like and its impact on leaders. Stay connected for this fascinating conversation.
This is CliffCentral.com.